Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Unlimited Life. We have such an extraordinary and such a special show for you today. When we created Unlimited Life a few years ago, it was our deepest desire and our greatest wish to be able to bring you the experts from around the world that had the secrets, the tools, the keys, and the techniques to really creating and living that unlimited life, the unbridled life, the life without boundaries and borders, in a way that you can really have it all and live the kind of life you've always desired and dreamed of and thought that you deserved. And today's guest really is an expert in that field. When you talk about the cherry on the top of the sundae, you talk about the it factor, somebody that knows how to live freely, unbridled, in a way that really you can have it all. You can live at the highest peak of experience, of extraordinary, of happiness and joy and bliss and euphoria and all those things that you know are possible in this bag of life. And today's guest, we are talking with Jessie Elder. And Jessie is amazing. I had the opportunity to witness Jessie. I witnessed him on stage teaching at a presentation, and then I watched him at an event in which he interacted with some of the top philanthropists and humanitarians in the field. And the room was filled with illuminated lights, the brightest people that you could possibly imagine on the planet, and Jessie shone even brighter. There is something so special about this man, so incredible about the way he unveils and teaches and talks and shares his wisdom and his knowledge on how to have an unlimited life. And so I welcome with great pleasure today's guest, Jessie Elder. Jessie, welcome to the show.
Nicole, hi. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. And I'll do the best I can for my ego to get out of the door after this.
Well, thank you. It's such a joy having you here. It really is. And when I was watching you, I mean, just standing, sometimes you can just look at somebody and they're filled with everything. They're filled with the essence and the quintessence of life. And that's what I feel like when I'm looking at you, that you are just this radiant being. And then when you taught, I was blown away. I was dumbfounded. And so as this show is Unlimited Life, I would love for you to share with us today, you know, your secrets or steps or tools of how to lead an unlimited life. And I would also love to backtrack for people that aren't familiar with your work. I mean, you are known as the knowledge architect, and you really have the self-mastery for the real world. And so I would love to know kind of the journey of, were you always this enlightened, bright being that just walked around talking to the leprechauns and the fairies and the trees, or did something shift in your consciousness that all of a sudden this door or window opened and this gateway, this sort of portal came through into your world?
Wow. Well, that's quite a setup. And I will just quite simply say that, as counterintuitive as it sounds, this unlimited life, which I love the title of it, and I've actually have a book at the time of this recording, we have a book coming out in a couple of months called The Upgraded Life. So we're on the exact same track here. And here's where all this stuff came from. It came because I was in incredible pain. I was really going through some times of life that were just not only no fun, but terrible, actually. And it was that pain that caused me to ask bigger questions. And I started to wonder, you know, does it really have to be like this? You know, does God play favorites? How come I can't have the life that I want when I see so many other people that do? And that pain, and the pain of not having, the pain of not knowing, really drove me. And it drove me to become a very active seeker. And it drove me to really want to know more. And so I studied everything. I studied spirituality from every major religion and most of the minor ones. And I just read a bunch of books. And it just became apparent to me that the laws of the universe operate in very predictable ways. And that if you see somebody's experiencing joy or happiness, it's not because they were touched by something special. It's not because something amazing happened in their life that they had an extra advantage. They're just doing things differently, including thinking differently. They're speaking differently. They've done things and you can too. And man, when I first experienced that, and I started to see the change in my income, and I started to experience a change in my emotions from being and kind of frustrated to really feeling just this friction-free kind of flow of life, I knew that it was possible, and that if I could do it in where my passion came from.
That's such an incredible answer, and I love the fact that you said you started with pain. You know, I don't know how much of my story that you know, but I was in a terrible car accident where my car exploded into a ball of flames and disintegrated, and it was gone. And one of the deals I made with the universe at that time was that I was willing to go through whatever pain was not necessary to understand pain, to help people get out of pain. But when I was done with that chapter, for the rest of my life, I wanted lollipops, roses, parades forever. I didn't want to stub my toe, bang my elbow for anybody to ever hurt my feelings the rest of my life. And I love the fact that that was your launching pad for this exuberant life.
It really was. It really was. And I really got the message pretty seriously that pain may be a normal part of life. Pain is a natural part of life. But suffering is optional. Pain is mandatory, but suffering is optional. And suffering is the story that we tell about the pain of the past. And if we can just stop telling the story that's causing the suffering, then we can absolutely experience a life that's free of suffering.
Wow. And I know that your work, and looking at your website, it's just self-mastery for the real world. And just in reading that, it fills you up. It like makes you smile like a Cheshire cat and your whole chest sort of expands. Because just the idea and the thought of self-mastery for the real world, for those everyday situations, and not just the self-mastery if we're on a Himalayan mountain and haven't eaten for a week and, you know, we're close to God and doing Tai Chi. I love the fact that there are skills that help us on an everyday level. And can you talk about that? Because I absolutely love that idea.
Well, I appreciate your acknowledgement of that. Those words are chosen very carefully. The real world is where we live. And we live in a world of relationships and jobs and businesses. And we live in a world of politics and economics and child rearing. And we live in a world of marriage and divorce. And we live in a world of birth and death. And that's the actual world that we live in. So it just made sense to me that any philosophy that I was going to practice, and certainly any philosophy that I was going to preach, it had to stand up in the real world. It had to stand up on itself. It had to have its own merit. And part of my zero-tolerance approach to, you know, theories that just sounded good but then they fell apart, that started for me in martial arts when I was a kid, and then when I was a teenager and I was competing in these god-awful like bar fights, and it was like no rules and it was incredibly violent. And you get your butt kicked really fast, and they probably carry you out on a stretcher or in an ambulance if you only had theories that didn't work in the ring. And when I started studying personal development and spirituality, I was really excited about so many of these concepts, like, wow, that sounds so good, just forgive everybody. Wow, that sounds awesome, until you have a serious argument with somebody and you're like, what the hell is this guy's problem? How can he be so dense? And then you're like, oh, well, that philosophy didn't work very well in the real world. And so everything that I teach now, everything that I share through all of our programs and all of our stuff, it's, you know what, it's got to work for you where you're at. And if it doesn't work for you where you're at, then it's as good as worthless.
Okay, so as you talk about all of your programs, and I know that they're vast and many, I see that you're titled the Knowledge Architect, which is so much fun. And so how does one as a knowledge architect work with an individual or companies, or do you work with companies? How do you help people get from that point of pain or that point of stuck or that point of confusion or helplessness or hopelessness, or is this it? There's got to be more to life than this. This is to jumping over the fence to the other side.
Right, right.
Well, the entire term knowledge architect really came out of my work in my own business, and as I was building this chain of martial arts schools and just had this fantastic team, and we realized that we didn't need to build any more new ideas. There was already plenty of good ideas out there. We just had to organize them more efficiently and organize them more powerfully and more elegantly, and then we would get a much better result. And so I really, that's where the term knowledge architect came from, and I began to apply things in my with friends of mine who had businesses, and I began to ask them questions about their programs or their products or whatever they were doing, and they would just make these little shifts, and all of a sudden there's an extra 20% in revenue, or there's an extra 50% reduction in cost somewhere, and they began to be happier and more fulfilled, and they were really excited about their business. And then I started to realize that life is kind of like a business. Life has all these moving parts, and there's always upgrades that you can make. And so to make it really simply and kind of cut past all the mumbo-jumbo and just all the fluff and the feel-good stuff, it comes down to this. What I do for people is the same thing that my coaches and mentors did for me, is to recognize the absolute power of choice that we have. If somebody, I was sitting on an airplane, and there was a gentleman sitting next to me, and he was really unhappy with the town that he was flying back to, or that he was driving back to when he landed. And he goes on to complain for 15 minutes about how bad this town is and how much he didn't like it and all this stuff. And he kind of took a pause, and I leaned in, and I said, I hear you, man. I know what it's like to live in a place that you don't want to live. And I don't know about you, but most towns that I've been to, when you get to the edge of the town, there's a sign, usually in North America, it's green, and the green sign will, in white letters, it'll have the name of the next town and exactly how many miles away it is. So you don't have to stay in the town that you're at if it sucks. You have a choice. You can move. And I was probably a little less forceful with him on the plane, but it's like he got this look in his eyes like I had just sprouted four extra heads or something. And this is what happens for all of us at one time or another. We forget that we always have a choice. And rather than complain about a relationship that's lost its energy and lost its life, freaking change the relationship. Start by changing yourself, who you are in the relationship. You want more love, give more love. You want to be forgiven, well, forgive first. And if that relationship, after all of your best attempts to upgrade it and uplift it, you know what? Relationships, the quality of a relationship is not its length. That's such a bogus idea that the longer a relationship is, the better it is. Give me a break. The quality of a relationship is in the quality of the relationship, not the quantity of hours, not the quantity of months or years. I have tremendous respect for somebody who can stay in a relationship for a long time that's no longer.
As Jesse was talking about being in a relationship and the quality and not the quantity. And I love when he's saying that it's not the matter of the extent of the time of the relationship. I don't know if you've heard me speak about before on these calls that my father proposed to my mother on the very first date. He said she had the most incredible heart of anybody that he had ever met. And she said that he had the best laugh and the best sense of humor, and that if she could be with somebody that could make her laugh like that, that they could get through anything. And in that one night, the quality of the relationship was so strong that they fell in love, and they've now been married 51 years. So I love the fact that, we're talking about that it doesn't have to be the extent of time you've been with the company or with the person or that you've been doing something, but just the quality and the moment. And that's the most beautiful and extraordinary thing. I love that you shared that, Jesse.
Well, thank you. And it's part of the dehypnosis that we all have to go through, not to accept society standards. When you look at that couple that may have been together 51 years and they're truly happy, man, that's just incredible. But then you'll see a lot of couples that have been together for 50 years that are miserable. And I would not applaud that. I don't think that you can suffer your way to success. So it's not about the years. Much more about the the juice and the energy that somebody's experiencing.
That's beautiful. Now, and that you work with entrepreneurs that are just starting businesses or people that have started businesses to launch and to grow. And one of the things that struck me just, I mean, almost like a reverberation when I was watching you speak is not only your knowledge and your wisdom, which is undeniable, but your sense of humor. You have such a great sense of humor. And so the way that you share things, it makes it seem like anything is possible. There is a joy in which you share instead of a onus in which you share. And so I love that. And so when you're working with an entrepreneur, how do you get somebody out of their head of being in that stuck, downtrodden, life's never going to work place?
Well, we do it pretty quickly. When they come to Austin, we have a private mastermind called Gamma, and the first thing they do is they put on gloves, and I become their fight trainer for 3 hours. And you get out of your head real quickly when you start to figure out how much power you actually have as a human being.
Ooh.
So
it's
impossible to stay in your head when you've got work to do, when you've got physical work to do. And you have experience in martial arts, yes?
Yes.
Extensive experience. So you know what happens when you put your body and your mind together in concert, in harmony with one another. So like you don't even need to think. It transcends thought. It just becomes beingness in motion. It becomes this ballet of violence that's ethically used to destroy any sort of limitation that you might have. So we don't have too much problem with people staying stuck in their heads.
That's so great. Here's a bridge right over this way. It's so fabulous, and it's just such phenomenal work that you're doing. It truly is. And I was looking on your website, and as we've spoken before, because you've been on a couple of my shows, and, you know, audiences absolutely love you, but one of the things I'm most attracted to, and this is not just a personal attraction, although it is, but it's also from the people that we have calling in and writing letters about the shows and the interviews and your website and your work, are your vitamins. Your mind vitamins, and I would love you to share with those who have not yet had the opportunity to experience a mind vitamin what a mind vitamin is.
Sure. Well, the mind vitamins really just came as a result of wanting to give people something really simple that they could digest, so to speak. You don't need to. Here's the thing. The whole personal development industry is built on such a parade of flaws that it's just laughable. And I spent a lot of money and I went to a lot of seminars until I realized that it's a little bit of a house of cards, because the whole trick is to get you to spend more money on the next thing. And you don't need any of that. And here I am as a highly paid coach and consultant running a very successful business telling people you don't need me. You don't need any of that stuff. Just be your freaking self. You are enough exactly as you are. There's nothing more you have to be. There's nothing more you have to do in order to be worthy. Your existence is proof of your worthiness. And if you can start with that, if you can just accept the fact that that might be possible, then the natural inspiration that's already inside of you is going to start to bubble out. You won't be able to stop it. And you're going to have an idea. You're going to have an insight. You're going to have an impulse. You're going to meet somebody. You're going to see a book, and it's going to give you an idea about what to do next. And all of that's inside of us. So the mind vitamins, I didn't want something that's going to be like a three-hour thing that people had to do. The message is so simple. Like, you're enough. And just suspend your disbelief in that for a moment. Just chill with that thought that you might actually be enough exactly as you are. And so the mind vitamins are really just little reminders for that. The mind vitamins, the videos speak to people's moment of now and their moment of next. And the past is totally irrelevant. And the past actually doesn't even exist, nor does the future. They're both psychological constructs that can only exist in our mind, but they don't exist in actual reality. You don't wake up in the morning and go, oh my gosh, it's tomorrow. you wake up and it's today. So I used to wear like a Rolex, and I was really into that. And I still have totally respect great timepieces, I have a lot of friends that have awesome watches, but I don't wear a watch, and I haven't for a couple of years now because it's always the same damn time. It's always now.
Mm-hmm. Now, I love when you say that there's no tomorrow, and that we don't wake up and say, you know, it's tomorrow or whatever, that it's today. But then can you explain to me about the past not existing or being significant?
Sure.
Because
it is significant to the extent that we think it's important. And you can always go back and mine your past for data. Absolutely. You can always go back in this treasure trove of memories and pull all sorts of fantastic insights and ideas. At the time of our call right now, I literally just got back from a drive to Houston. I took my car, drove out to Houston from my home in Austin to say goodbye to an old friend, somebody that had passed away last week. And he helped me tremendously when I was first starting out. He gave me a chance when nobody else would. And so I went to his funeral to go pay respects and really enjoyed thinking about him and about all those memories, you know, the three-hour drive out there and the three-hour drive back. So I say that because the past can be incredibly useful. Here's the deal, though. When we're thinking about the past, when are we thinking about it? We're thinking about it now. So to be thinking about aspects of the past that bring us pain simply means that we are thinking about that pain in the moment of now, and that becomes our vibration. That becomes our essence, our energetic signature in the moment of now is pain. And you cannot punish your way to prosperity. It's impossible. So if you're feeling bad because of something that happened 10 years ago or 10 minutes ago, when are you doing the feeling? You're doing the feeling now. And people, I think, just like to experience the contrast. So they like to feel really bad and they make themselves feel like shit for a little bit. And then when they're done, they stop and now it feels good. Well, it feels good by contrast, but you don't have to go to hell first in order to get to heaven.
I love the way that you share and your concepts and your thoughts. I truly do. Just the way that you weave your words and weave your life. And I know that you created a breakthrough concept called the 4-Step Freedom Creator. And I would love to know more about that, because anything that has steps, it's so funny, because I was talking to somebody who is a stepchild and has gone through many experiences with her parent marrying somebody else. And so they've had a couple step parents in the process. And they said, how many steps do you have to go before you get to the top? And I was like, oh. When you do that. But any time that we think of steps, we know we're moving up. We know that there is some forward motion. We know that there is an upward swing of accelerated life. And so that's always great, especially on a show like this where we're looking for, you know, any key or secret or tool or technique or door or window or pathway to be able to get us to the very next step, to be able to live in that kind of life of joy and happiness.
Well, in terms of steps, our brains love numbers and we love starting something and knowing that there's an end to it. Our brain loves completion and patterns. So it's a really useful framework. And I'm sure that you have a lot of people who like you, are coaches, are teachers, are healers. And so that's a very useful thing for people in a position of influence. If you're coming up with content, if you're making concepts for people, it's really useful to put numbers to it, because then it provides some structure and some finality to it. The 4-Step Freedom Creator was a curriculum that I wrote, a system that I wrote some years ago after my own transition to when I had gone from kind of starting out in my first business and ended up being successful in that business, and then we ended up really dominating in our market. And then there was a reinvention that was necessary. So I went through a period of reflection and reinvention and then rebirth. And so the 4-Step Freedom Creator is specifically for entrepreneurs who have already achieved a level of success in one business or in their original goals. They've already reached them, and now they're kind of asking, like, what's next? Given what I know now and what I'm capable of now, you know, what do I want to be when I grow up as an entrepreneur? And so the four-step freedom creator was really to take somebody from that level of one success and help them to leapfrog to the next.
Just extraordinary. I mean, your whole story from beginning to end, even when I was reading about your childhood and about your father and some of the steps that you've taken to move forward in your life and things that have changed your life and directed your life, because I think that most people don't even realize that every happening in our life affects us, changes us, molds us.
Sure.
You know, opens opportunity. And you know, I would love if you're comfortable sharing some of your childhood or some of, you know, the things that shaped you into taking lessons and being able to focus them or refocus them in a different way.
Yeah, yeah, and I appreciate your sensitive setup of that. And I'm an open book. I'll share anything that I think can help people. I was very, very blessed, very fortunate to be born into a family where being your own person and doing your own thing is really supported and really, really valued. And my father took a leave of absence from his job as a school teacher to work as a director for a halfway house in the Rio Grande Valley in South Texas. And the halfway house was not for people who were on, you know, probation necessarily, but it was for Salvadoran and Guatemalan refugees that were coming up from Central America because of the incredible civil war that was happening down there in the mid-80s. And these are people who are not, you know, they weren't crossing the border to try and get a job. They were crossing the border to stay alive. And my father felt a real sense of duty and sense of conscience to help people who were geographically so close to our backyard. You know, it's like a 3-hour flight from Houston. I mean, it's really not that far from Texas. And so he took this job, and it was an amazing experience. We lived on a little trailer on this dirt lot that was next to the bigger house where the refugees would live and stay. And of course, every single one of them was undocumented. And part of his job was if they needed a ride to the bus stop, and you know, he would do that. My mom came to me when I was probably 9 or 10 years old. She asked me to sit down. So we're in the trailer, and I sit down. She said, "Do you know what the word indictment means?" And I didn't. So she explained to me what indictment meant, and she said, "Your father has been indicted for aiding and abetting illegal aliens, because one of the refugees that he gave a ride to the bus stop, they got caught and, you know, got deported." And of course they said, you know, "This is who helped us." And so it was a very interesting time, because, you know, I didn't know any other friends of mine that were growing up whose dad was facing a federal prison term. And I was sitting in the courtroom when he was sentenced, or he was found guilty, and then he was sentenced, the jury stood up and they said, "We find the defendant, Jack Elder, guilty of 13 counts of aiding and abetting illegal aliens," and they go through each count, and I'm doing the math in my head, realizing that each count is 7 years in the federal penitentiary, and by the time they got to the end, I realized I'm never going to see my dad again. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I didn't realize this at the time, but looking back, that's the moment that I grew up emotionally. And I realized that it was going to be up to me to take care of my mom and my siblings. And it was very powerful, very powerful. And it taught me a lot of things. And one of the things that it taught me is that when you value something, when you care for something, and when you think something is right, then it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter what your neighbors think. It doesn't matter what a politician thinks. If you think something is right, then you have a choice to do something about it. And that was a choice that my father made. And as it turns out, he didn't get sentenced to life in prison. He actually ended up getting 5 months in a halfway house in San Antonio. And they let him out early if he promised not to tell the press, because it was quite a sensational story at that time. So it was really the best of all worlds. Everything worked out. I got to grow up with my dad there. And at the same time, I got an unforgettable lesson about the power of following your values.
Wow, Jesse. And imagine for caring, for being arrested for caring and helping. I mean, just the idea that there's a world in which caring and helping is frowned upon or looked down upon or, you know, or made wrong in any value or any system. And how courageous of your father, and how brave, and how lucky you are to have such a wonderful man as your guide.
I feel the same way. And there's, like any situation, there's a lot of sides to it. And there's people who are absolutely justified in saying that what he did is wrong. And there's people who are absolutely justified in saying what he did was right. But ultimately, I think the lesson that would apply to anybody is that if you think something is right, you know, what's your level of courage? What's your level of commitment to do the thing that you think is right? Is it just an idea, or is it something you're really willing to speak out against?
And was that the same time that you kind of found your way into the world of martial arts?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It really was. And martial arts, gosh, martial arts helped me so much to get through that period and just to deal with that, you know, the emotions and a lot of the anger that I was feeling at that time, and really channel it into something constructive and productive. And by the time I was 15 years old, I was helping in the classroom. And by the time I was 16, I was teaching class. And when I was 17, I told my parents, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. So I moved out and got an apartment with some friends and lived my life teaching martial arts. And that's kind of how everything got started.
Wow. I remember that we had talked once about almost like wild fights or sort of chartered unmatched fights where you were just sort of thrown into a situation and just had to rely on everything that was inside of you.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that I was thrown into it. I gladly, willingly walked into the ring. Yeah, I just wanted to experience that. I had a tremendous respect for violence on the hand-to-hand, you know, physical level. And I really, really wanted to know more. And I knew that, you know, if I don't do this now, I'm probably never going to do it. So let me get in there and see what it's like. So the bar that I worked at is this nightclub in San Antonio called Sneakers Nightclub. I'll never forget. It was at 11431 Perrin Vidal. I'll never forget that street. And it's a really bad part of town now, but or not as nice as it was back then. But there was this club, and all sorts of rock bands would go there. The joke that we used to make was that bands go there to be born, and they go there to die. And so there's, you know, this is like in the early 90s or mid-90s, and there's bands like, you know, Nirvana played there, and Soundgarden, and, you know, all these grunge bands. When they were just getting going, they would kind of stop through there. And then there's bands that were big in the 70s and, you know, some bands that were kind of on their way out, and they'd go play at that club. But I was a bouncer, and that's what I was doing to pay the bills. They decided to start having fight nights on Thursday night. So they would roll out the mats on the dance floor. They would have a sign-up list for drink specials and a you know, clipboard for drink specials and a clipboard to see who wanted to fight. And very frequently, people would use the clipboards in that order. They would take full advantage of the drink specials. And once they had that false liquid courage in them, they would sign themselves up to fight. And it was interesting.
And so now, do you feel fearless, like you can handle anything? And when people come to you, no matter what their problems or their situations, do you use those same tools to be able to translate into the success of a business or into a life or a lifestyle?
I like that question. I know that there's no set of tools that is applicable in every situation. And I would probably be just like a lot of other coaches if I said, this is the one tool that's going to work. You know, people that are into NLP swear that NLP fixes everything. And people who are, you know, devout, conservative, religious practitioners will swear that their religion will fix anything. And I don't think there's one thing that fixes everything. What I do know is that it's impossible to have a desire without having the ability for that desire to come true in your life. So I believe in that all the way. So if somebody comes to me and they say, you know, I'm really struggling and I really, you know, I want to move forward, I'll say, cool. If I can help you, I will. And then it will come down to, you know, what's their level of commitment to wanting to change. And I have a lot of material that's free and it's available for anybody. When it comes to me directly getting involved to help somebody, I know that I can only help someone to the degree that they're willing and able to help themselves. And so if someone is not ready to invest the time or the energy or the effort, or quite frankly, the money to invest in themselves to get the result, then there's nothing that I or really any other coach on the world can do.
And how do people find you and find your programs? Should they just go to your website, or do you work with individuals or groups? And what's the very best way to get your coaching and your experience and your guidance?
Sure. I think it really just depends on who the individual is. I do have a private mastermind here in Austin. It's called Gamma, and it's for established entrepreneurs. So if somebody's interested in that, they can go to jesseelder.com/apply, and the password is choice. And that's for entrepreneurs who are really looking to take their business and their thinking to an entirely different level. And if someone is an individual who has either the resources available or is able to get the resources, I do offer private consulting. My hourly rate is $2,000, and we have people that will just book a full day at $15,000. They'll come into Austin, we'll fly them in first class and put them up in a hotel, and then we just take the entire day to go through whatever it is that's going on for them. But I don't do that very often. That's not the core of my business. Really focused on serving the people in our mastermind and preparing a lot of other products that will be a little bit more accessible to people if they're not an entrepreneur or if they're not at a point where they're ready to invest seriously in a training program or coaching. They can still have access to some of the basic tools, and so we have those all available right now, a lot through Facebook, but they can also just go to jesseelder.com and get on the mailing list and get the emails, and it's a really, really good way to stay up to speed.
And your daily vitamins, which I think are just so special too. I mean, your mind vitamins are just fabulous. And then I wanted to ask you about the three fundamental truths of self-mastery and success, because I'm overjoyed that there are fundamental truths that live within all of us. And as you talk about each person being individual, and everybody has their own unique way of living and being and doing and creating and expressing. And so coaching is always, I know, crafted for that individual. But the fact that that we all breathe, or that we all laugh, or that we all love, or that we all have levels of care, I love that there are fundamental truths that lie within every heart and spirit and soul. And I was wondering if you could take a minute just to talk about those for a bit.
I would love to. And I'll focus in on one of those truths in particular. This is actually, at the time of this call, there's a lot of activity around this particular message. We've got a lot of people in our online groups that are really focused on this particular philosophy. And it's really simple. The idea is that your life is experienced between the limits of your imagination and your courage. Imagination and courage. And that your life cannot exceed either one of those. You can't do something that you are not able to imagine, and you cannot experience anything. You don't have the courage to go out and and get or go out and experience. So imagination and courage are actually the limits of our life. And it's ironic on this Unlimited Life show that we're talking about what the limits are, but they're real. They're absolutely real. And there are people who cannot conceive of something as possible, and so they never experience it. And there are people that can conceive it, they can understand it, they can see it, but they lack the courage, and they lack the inner resolve, or just quite frankly, the guts to begin to take action. And so my work really is around just in sharing some things with people so that they can expand their imagination and proportionally expand their courage. And it's like getting a bigger container. Eventually, if you get a bigger container, the amount of water that you were, the amount of liquid that you had, the amount of water that you had, doesn't fill the container anymore, and you want to go get some more. So everything is about expanding that capacity, and those are the two limits.
Just genius. I love that. I absolutely, all of your work, the fact that you have integrated from your childhood to your martial arts to the way in which you share to the joy and the laughter and the abundance and the unlimited power and how to get through whatever barriers or borders or boundaries have not been created, to me is beyond special. Jesse, and listening to you and watching you and seeing how people react to the things that you say. You were sharing live, and I would love to take the whole audience that's listening to the show right now and all of you who are listening and downloads all over the world, because we have people listening from Malta and South Africa and from Tanzania and Mauritius. We have, I know all
love
of
it.
You that are out there, and I, you know, so love having you here with us all the time. And those of you that are sleeping when we're live and are downloading this, you know, as soon as you wake up, I just want you to know that for all of you, you know, I love this roller coaster ride that we're on in this life, and this, it's just, it's so special, and I love the fact that you're here with us. And so now I'm going to take you from whatever country that you are in right now and from whatever nook and cranny and part of the world in which you are experiencing this call and Jesse's information, to when I had the opportunity to hear Jesse on stage and witness his live energy. And one of the things that just made me laugh but was so true was when you were talking about asking people for money for your services. And so
yes.
I was wondering if you could share it with this audience.
Yeah, well, it really comes down pretty simply. If you have something of value, something you know helps people, and you're not continually getting it out there, then it seems to me either you don't care about yourself very much and you don't want to improve your own life, or you don't care about them. If we have a tool that helps people, then we have a responsibility to get that tool out there. It's not about making the money. The money is a way to keep score and increase the power of our choices. The more money you have, the more choices you have. Money is synonymous with choice. The less money you have, the less choices you have. And the way to get more choices is to make more money. The way to make more money is to go out and serve at a deeper and more powerful level. That doesn't need to take a long time. It doesn't need to take years. It literally is a matter of minutes when you understand that time is the least important factor. Time is the least important factor in making money.
So can you explain that a little further, how that works? Because I know most people think if they work hard and they work 80-hour weeks and they put their life and blood and sweat and soul into something, that they'll be rewarded for that. And then there are others that say, okay, I want to take a week of vacation a month and I want to be able to value my worth and I want to be able to ask for what I know is aligned with not only my gifts and talents, but what I can give and do for the planet. Mm-hmm. And so how do you straddle that, or how do you move from one field to the other?
Well, that's a great question. And I want to answer it as as honestly as I can. I also want to maintain integrity to the group that I have a responsibility to, the people in Gamma who are investing their time, their energy in these what are not necessarily proprietary concepts, but I would be out of integrity with them if I just shared all of the tactics and the curriculum.
Sure.
So I hope that's understandable.
Yes.
In a nutshell, what it comes down to is this. We are sold and told a whole bunch of stuff that is actually bullshit when it comes to making money. There is no shortage of money. There is a perceived shortage. But if you'll look at the world and you look at people who seem to have money even though they didn't do anything to earn it, are there people in the world that we could think of if we really, you know, if we really look at the tabloids or if we really looked at the reality shows, and we can see lots of evidence that there are people who don't seem to be contributing a whole lot to society, and yet they have an awful lot of money. Well, there's a lesson in that. And the lesson is that money doesn't care. Money doesn't care if you're a good person or a bad person, whatever that means. Money doesn't care how hard you work. When you go to the bank to deposit a check, they don't interrogate you and make sure that you suffered enough in order to get that money. So money is, and everything in life, money, sex, influence, power, contribution, fun, all of life based on what do you expect and what can you accept. Expectation and acceptance. Do you expect to wake up in the morning to find abundance flowing your way? If not, there's simply no way that it can happen. Expectation is key. Those people who make lots of money, those people who have an abundance of money flowing into their life, they have an expectation that money is going to be there. Just like you and I have an expectation, and when we draw a deep breath in, oxygen is going to rush to fill our lungs, and we don't ever worry about where that breath is going to come from. Well, there is as much money for us as there is air for us to breathe. So developing an expectation is critical. Secondly, though, we have to develop an acceptance. And that means that when money comes our way, instead of repelling it or repulsing it, we accept it. And how many times have you ever taken somebody to the airport and they said, hey, let me pay you for gas? And most of us would probably say, oh, no, I'm just doing it as a favor. But that may be the case. And we're also sending a very powerful signal to ourselves that that's a repulsion of money. So just get used to accepting money. Just get used to smiling. And when it shows up, you just smile. There you are. Come on over here. Money likes that acceptance. So the more you accept money and the more you get good at accepting money, the more of it you can accept. When I first started coaching and working with people, I thought that $2,000 a month was a lot of money, and it was. It was very difficult for that to happen. And then I realized that I saw the value they were getting, and I saw the value that more money would have in my life and would give me a lot of different choices. And so I went from charging $2,000 a month to charging $2,000 a day. And not that big of a jump. It wasn't much harder. It was really just an expectation that I was going to provide value and that they were going to receive value, and just being willing to accept it. And now when somebody will come in and invest $10,000 or $15,000 for a day, it may be a lot, maybe a little, but if somebody says that's too expensive, there's a big difference between it being too expensive and them not having the money for something that they want. You don't walk into a Mercedes dealership and say, that's too expensive. Well, no, there are plenty of people around the world that are driving Mercedes that don't think it's too expensive. So it's not if the Mercedes is too expensive. The question is, do you have the money? So expectation and acceptance are the twin sides, two sides of the golden coin of manifestation.
Wow. That's really powerful, Jesse.
Well, I try not to bring you the weak concept.
And what does GABA stand for?
Gosh, I wish that I don't think we have time to go into it. I will just say that it's based on some very leading edge technological, spiritual, psychological concepts. And GABA really represents my favorite people on the planet.
Well, that sounds enough. That's like a hot air balloon taking off, just the way that you say it. And I know that we don't have a lot of time left, but I would love, our last couple of minutes to share, since this show is Unlimited Life, anything that you would want to share from your heart on how to lead or live an unlimited or an unbridled life.
I appreciate that segue, Nicole, and I will just say that the universe is very much like a fireplace, and you just have to get the logs in first before it gives you any heat. Go first. Go first in love. Go first in laughter. Go first in light. Go first in giving somebody a high five or a hug or a handshake. Go first in contributing. Go first in learning. Go first in asking, go first in investing, go first, go first, go first. Don't wait for other people. You'll be waiting a long damn time.
Just genius. Absolutely. And for you, how do you lead? Are you still impassioned in the martial arts world, or are you out skydiving, or just skinny dipping in lakes, or are there things that you do in your own life that you think, gosh, I really lead an unlimited life?
Well, I wouldn't say that I do lead a truly unlimited life. There are limits that I put in place for myself. There are structures that I put in place. There are rituals that I have that I won't deviate from. But that does include a tremendous amount of fun. I found for me that if I don't get on an airplane at least once or twice a month, that I tend to stagnate a little bit. So I really like getting out there, and I like going to a Singularity Summit or technological things. I like going to Burning Man and just hearing different music and seeing art. And I think that life. I just want to be the best example that I can be and just be congruent. I'm not here for anybody else. I'm here to be the best version of Jesse that I can be. And if somebody takes from that they can become more of themselves, not to be like me, but to be more like themselves, then those are the people that I love to hang out with.
Such a joy, absolute joy. And in your programs, for individuals that are in relationships, let's say, not in business, but somebody that is stuck in a personal relationship, in a romantic relationship, in a family situation, can they come to you for assistance as well?
There are a couple of different programs that are really, really good for that. One is called The Upgraded Life, which is a 6-session video course. We also have another program called the 12 Rituals, which is at the time of this recording or at the time of this call is still being taught and developed. Just go on, if they go to jesseelder.com and just get on our email list, they'll be able to receive all the information about both the Upgraded Life as well as the 12 Rituals. And any issue with relationships is first and foremost a reflection of one's own personal values and standards. It's impossible for a bad relationship to remain bad when those standards and values are increased, because the person who's in the relationship will either shape up or they will ship out. Either way, you're going to be left with someone who is the perfect partner for you, regardless of what you want. You can have it.
It's so exciting just to know that there are opportunities out there, and especially in your programs and your work, to be able to grow, to be able to enhance, to be able to enlighten, to be able to live at a higher, richer, more profound, more evocative, provocative, and fun, exciting level. And just
Absolutely.
Even the things that you're sharing, you know, when you talk about money equal choices or the two sides of the coin from expecting and accepting, those are things we just don't think about in a daily life, or that most people, I don't say that we, you know, everyone, but just being able to, how many times people have said thank you and somebody said, oh, it was nothing, that people can't even receive
yeah.
compliments.
Right, right.
And I'm always dumbfounded by that, and the fact that you're sharing and teaching in a way that not only can you receive the small things in life, but you can receive it all if you really are open to it and willing to share at a higher level and play a
Absolutely.
Bigger game.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, Jesse, it's such a joy having you here, and I
Likewise.
Love having
Thank
you on
you,
our shows, and I would love to have you back again. We've had all these people asking questions, and I hope for all of you that have been typing in that I've answered all your questions for you. And if not, please contact us at the station, and we will reach out to Jesse for you and have him back. And to get a copy of today's show, it's really simple. So those of you who have been writing notes diligently and writing down acceptance and expect, wake up every day and expect money as it flows into your life and develop expectations, and that your hands are now cramping from all of the brilliance that he has just spouted out. You can send a text message to 55678. Really easy. Pick up your phone, send a text message to 55678. The message is simply Nicole. And you can download a copy of today's show right into your phone or mobile device and listen to it over and over and over again and get this wealth of knowledge and information from Jesse Elder. Truly just such an extraordinary man with such powerful information and insight and ways to change your life. And the knowledge architect, which is now going to be one of my favorite expressions ever.
I love it. Well, it's been a true, true pleasure, and I appreciate your enthusiasm and your sensitivity and your questions, and hopefully this will help a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely, Jesse. Well, we look forward to having you again, and thank you so much for being with us today. So this is Nicole Brandon and Jesse Elder, the Knowledge Architect. His information was amazing, wasn't it? The way he shared his wisdom, his knowledge, his heart, his spirit, his soul, his sense of community, and so passionate about all that is and how you can actually step to that higher level of living in life. And so we are both wishing you an unlimited and unbridled life, and we look forward to seeing you next week.